This is one of those hours I'm really looking forward to. Not that I don't look forward to each hour here on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, May the 3rd, 2007. It's just that some days I feel really prepared with some new insights that really help me. And I'm sure when I share them with you, I hope they will help you. They're all in light of a lecture that I attended yesterday. It's called The Day of Homiletical Reflection, and it simply refers to an opportunity when we were able to hear Leonard Sweet talk about sermon material. Though most of the people in attendance were professors, seminarians, or pastors, I'm sure lay people would have got a lot also out of the homiletical reflections from Dr. Sweet. By the way, he's the E. Stanley Jones Professor of Evangelism at Drew Theological School, that's in Madison, New Jersey, and also the visiting distinguished professor at George Fox University in Portland, Oregon. What he was coming to talk about is helping us look at the big picture. And there's no doubt, it's a different picture than what we grew up with. It was not at all unusual, for example, he's Methodist. He said that his pastor in the small town in which he grew up was always invited to be all on all the boards in the little town, the Kiwanis board or whatever other boards there would be, because it was a distinguished position to be pastor of one of the only congregations in a small town. Today, very few pastors are asked to be on the boards in various towns. Things have changed a lot. What we're going to do in this next hour, and possibly moving into the second hour, is to share with you some of his insights, but put them into a law gospel perspective. I was real happy to be there because every now and then you get a thought in your mind, but you don't know quite how to verbalize it. That's why talk radio has become so successful, particularly in the political realm. Because for years, there was not one brand of talk radio that was so apparent as the other brand was. The mainstream media, somewhat liberal, obviously. And so when individuals came along who had a more conservative point of view, people really began to listen to them. In fact, the number one cable show right now is from an individual who has quite conservative views. And why is that? Because they were able to hear something that they always kind of knew, but were never really able to enunciate. They weren't able to put it into words. We've talked to some length on Law and Gospel about that because we're dealing with Christians, we all have the same Holy Spirit, which means that the faith that is given to us is pure and undefiled. That's the faith given to us by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's the kind of faith that John the Baptist had when he leaped in the womb for joy when Jesus in the womb of Mary entered into the room. Now, what happens is that we begin, as we grow older, to use our reason to question and change the faith given to us by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, that will never happen to the point where you actually lose the faith. It is quite possible to disagree with much what the Holy Spirit has placed in you if they are not fundamental doctrines of the church. Now, what the lecture was about is kind of taking a look at the big picture, and it was entitled this, Can the Church Survive the Perfect Storm? Perhaps you were able to see that movie, The Perfect Storm. It was about a storm, of course, on the east coast of the United States, when two large storms. Buzz, you would know that. Was it two or three Category 5 storms came together? One from the northeast, I believe, and, well, he's going to go look it up now. But anyway, it's bad enough to have a huge storm, but when two of them came together and they came together in such a way that they caused a huge weather phenomena. Well, they were able to make a movie out of it. And when they made that movie out of it, of course, many people went to see it. And the idea of a perfect storm is quite obvious now. Now, what Dr. Sweet talked about is that, can you imagine that if you had these three geographical phenomena occur, a tsunami, a hurricane, and an increase in the global warming of the Earth. If all these three happen together in a particular area all at the same time, it's kind of interesting that if I talked about tsunami even a year and a half ago, I don't think people would have known what I was speaking of. I don't think I would have known what I was speaking of. I knew it was some kind of a storm, but never in our wildest imagination did we think we would see video of what a tsunami can do. A tsunami being generated by an earthquake under the ocean leads to large waves that, when they hit shore, just travel sometimes up to a mile inside the shore, destroying anything in its path, covering it with water, and causing thousands and thousands of deaths. So that's what happened when a tsunami hit the coast of Indonesia not too long ago. And, of course, we're all quite familiar with Katrina, the hurricane. But then global warming, in some people's minds at any rate, is becoming a real big concern. And for the sake of argument, let's assume that they're right, that the Earth is going to heat up to such a degree that icebergs are going to melt. Well, guess what? You're going to have water covering all of New York. That's what some of the global warmists are saying. Now, if that were true, and a tsunami, a hurricane, and the water covering New York all came in at the same time, you can imagine the number of deaths. Now, what is the perfect storm in the theological world? You may be in it right now. You may be coming out of it in your congregation, or you may be going into it. How do you recognize it? The first one is referred to as the tsunami of postmodernity. Postmodernity is simply the view that, frankly, nobody has the truth except yourself. If it's true for you, that's okay. And you need to be tolerant of other people's views. In theology, that would mean something along these lines. We all worship the same God. He just comes in different forms, which I have never understood. Because the God we worship, there's no need to obey the commandments in order to get to heaven. That's right. You can be as blunt as you want. One does not get to heaven by obeying the commandments. Every other religion, that is true. Now, how can you have the same God having such two diametrically opposed point of view? Well, in a postmodern society, people say you can. Then he talked about the hurricane of post-Christianity. Frankly, he was talking about, and many of us are aware of this, that if you look at the earth, the north and the west is becoming quite irreligious. In fact, right now it's only a small percentage of people in Europe who go to church. You can go to the cathedrals, the large cathedrals in Europe, and frankly, the guides get angry when church time comes around because they're not able to make their money in guiding someone around the cathedral to show them how beautiful it is. And they're really angry because when the church time comes, you may only have a handful of people in the entire sanctuary that could hold 1,000 people. You might have 20 or 30, and that's all that are coming to church. That, by the way, that hurricane is also starting to hit the coasts of the United States, where atheism these days has become very, very big. It's actually growing, and there are some people who, like Richard Dawkins, who indicates that atheism is the only rational point of view. They write books on this. And so there is an increase in the number of militant atheists today in contrast to before. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Then, of course, you have the global warming, and this is of post-scale. Now, what does that mean? That means that in many areas of the world, things are really being scaled down. Genetics, robotics, information, a science called nanoscience, where they're working with very, very small bits of information and items. This is where things are scaled down, and for Christianity, we need to be aware of this in order to meet it. It's not that we have not met storms before. Obviously, in the early church, there was this character named Arius who wanted to really doubt about the true personhood of Jesus Christ, that he was both God and man. There were individuals, Pelagius, who really wanted to cast question on the grace of God, that it was really by our own contribution of works that we are saved. And then, of course, during the time of the Reformation, there was a need to bring the church back to the proper teachings of the Bible after it had veered off course for a number of centuries. And at the time of the Enlightenment, which is not that long ago, there were really some concerns the way the Bible was picked at, as though it was some kind of an object that man could have control over, taking a look at a chapter and saying, well, obviously, Matthew didn't write all of that. This was borrowed from so-and-so. This was all conjecture. As they took apart the Bible like you take apart an atom, and they ended up with a big bomb, the historical critical method, which really, from the Jesus seminar, doubts whether Jesus said or did much of anything the Bible says, except that they pretty well agree he died on a cross, because you have evidence outside of the Bible for that. Well, let's get to the heart of the matter here, as you're listening to this, is what is so different today, particularly in light of the fact that so many in the church are infrequent attenders, and churches are doing whatever they can to increase that membership and attendance, and in fact, the more entertaining it becomes, the less likely are people to be regular attenders. The militant atheist Richard Dawkins has written, "If there is a God, he's a lot more incomprehensible than any religion today proposes." Now, I find that statement really interesting, and frankly, somewhat in agreement. Yesterday, of course, we were talking about the hidden God. It's a topic you hear a lot on AM 850 KFUO, because being a radio station that takes calls, we need to answer the calls, and a lot of times we're unable to do so, not because we're ignorant or we don't have scholars affiliated with a radio station, we have a whole seminary beside us, but because God doesn't give the answer. So that you have religions that attempt to give an answer to almost every question, because they think if they're unable to do so, that somehow they're showing a weakness in their religious point of view. If I can't answer that, then why would somebody want to become a part of my tribe, so to speak, part of my denomination? Well, I'm very comfortable in not being able to answer about 80% of the questions I have, simply because God has not decided to give such an answer to these questions in his holy book, the Bible, that love story that he has written through the prophets and the apostle. What was interesting about the lecture is that Dr. Sweet indicated that we really need to be more imaginative as we preach the message of Jesus Christ. And as he began to talk about what he meant by being more imaginative, it came to my mind that a lot of what is said on AM850 KFUO is precisely that kind of imagination. There's two kinds of imagination. When somebody wants to make a product, let's say, we'll take a very simple example, video games. I remember playing that Ms. Pac-Man. I used to play that for hours. Or the one I really liked was Pong, which then moved into a tennis game. And I'll tell you, I was a coach here at the seminary for a number of years, coaching the tennis team, and I often would get the team to take a look or play the Pong game before they would go out. Because the only way you could beat the computer, you had to anticipate where the ball was going, be there in time, anticipate which way the opponent would go and hit the ball the other direction. And once you did that for about a half an hour, and then you went out on a real court, I always said that our level of play, which is a seminary level, it's not a professional level at all, although occasionally we would get some very good players. But normally when we would go over and play against Washington University, which was really kind of interesting, because they actually gave scholarships to tennis players, perhaps maybe our number one man would give them a fight, but the rest of us would totally fall apart. Why? Because they really knew how to play. Whereas here at the seminary, I was trying to teach the individuals when they played that he who thinks best will win the game of tennis at our level. Thinking was much more important. And I really believe that too when it comes to preaching and witnessing. That there's two kinds of imaginations. Let's get back to that video game. When we played the Pong game, it was just a little bar going back and forth across the bottom of the screen. Then came the tennis, where you had a kind of a stick man with somewhat of a racket in his hand, and by hitting the mouse certain ways, that is, to control the screen, you could really do some interesting things. And then, today, it looks like you have real live people there. They're just photographically so accurate, and it's really quite amazing. So today, if you look at the Microsoft games or the Xbox, these are selling very, very good because they are so much better. Now, that's one kind of imagination where you give something better than what a person has. And that's, yesterday we talked about advertising. That's how all advertising goes. You have the imagination of this is better because why do people buy it? Because they see something in it for me. So what do you have to do in proper advertising? You have to figure out the needs people have now. And then you meet those needs with a better product. When I first started playing tennis, I had a Wilson racket. I still got it, made out of wood. It was a junior racket. And today, of course, they've got all kinds of fibrous rackets. The strings are much better. It's really quite different. So I bought at least 8 new rackets since I started playing tennis. But if I really want to have a psychological advantage over someone where I think we're just about equal in our playing ability, but I think I can beat them if I can psych them out, I'll bring onto the court that Wilson wooden racket. It's a junior racket. And, of course, they laugh until I serve with it and hit a couple of balls past them, and they get a little nervous. And you see, when you get nervous, then you try extra hard and you don't get into your normal game. And it's a way of really psyching someone out. Now some people can't be psyched out and they just put the ball right past me because, of course, the racket can't reach as far as a normal racket. If they think about it, it's really to their advantage for me to play with such an inferior racket. But it's interesting when you go back, and I go through the airports occasionally, and they'll have these coin games, and I find myself often choosing not the newest ones, where the characters look real, but I find myself choosing some of the old standbys. I mean, I love Galaga. Almost bought it. One of those great big Galaga machines. And these are aliens that come down. One of the best games I've ever seen. I still haven't found anything better than that. And that was one of the early ones that came out. I'm not really interested in anything better. Because that was just, and are you ready for it? That was just different. And I have just shared with you the essence of Dr. Leonard Sweet's talk yesterday. He says that there's two imaginations. And this is why I like listening to him, because I was able now to put into categories some of the thoughts that I've been having over the past few years here on AM 850 KFUO, but not really able to find a handle as well as what he was saying. He says there's the imagination of the better. And therefore, people gravitate towards your product because they say, boy, what's in it for me? The imagination of creating something better is very consumer-oriented, because what can the people get out of it is number one. What a difference is the imagination of the different. And as I was listening to him, I was understanding in my mind why it is so difficult for individuals to come and make a decision for Christianity. Because you see, Christianity is not just something better than what they have. In fact, you wouldn't even want to put it in those forms. Christianity is totally different. And I'll tell you, as I've been thinking about this, and I was listening to KFUO this morning, Chuck Rathard and Todd Wilkin were on the Bible study, and they were talking about prayer. And this is an actual quote from Chuck Rathard. He was talking to Todd, and after listening to Todd about prayer, he says, well, what you're saying is that Christianity has a completely different approach to prayer. And of course, Todd agreed with him. That's the essence of Christianity. It is really different. And when we get back from the break, we'll go into more detail as to how different it is and how making worship services just better than the normal entertainment that people get is not going to work. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. Phone us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I will take calls because I want you to understand as I move through this, so stay with us through the break.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to tune in to Moments of Assurance throughout the week. You'll hear uplifting thoughts, you'll pray with me, you'll sing with me, whether you can sing or not. You'll get some practical illustrations to apply to your life, as well as scriptural excerpts that I'll talk about as you go forth in your life by faith every day. So join me, won't you? Sundays at 9:15 a.m. and weekdays at 12:05 for Moments of Assurance.
Get ready, get set, and go to Forest Park for the 12th Annual Family Walk with Run to benefit Lutheran Family and Children's Services. It's happening Saturday, May 12th on the Upper Muni parking lot. Now, this wonderful event boasts a 3-mile kid-friendly walk route, 5K competitive run, family game arena for preteens, teens, and parents, and a children's corner. Registration is $25 for the LFCS Family Walk, Saturday, May 12th.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Death is something that we don't like to discuss, but it's something we all have to deal with in life. Research shows that women tend to outlive men and therefore are more likely to be a widow at some point in their lives. Here's my colleague Dr. James Dobson with a thought about being mentally prepared.
80% of the women in this country will eventually be widows.
Right.
It is very important to prepare for that as best you can. You can never really completely understand what's coming, but you can certainly get your theological perspectives in line and begin to brace yourself,
right,
because it is part of life. You know, it is a human condition. It's everybody. It's all of us. The only thing that's different is the timing.
Death isn't something we should constantly worry about, but it's a topic to take soberly. It's a good reminder that we're all accountable to our Maker for our thoughts and actions here on Earth. We want to be prepared to meet Him when our time comes. For more on having a healthy perspective on life, go to family.org.
Are you looking for some spiritual fulfillment before going to bed? Are you offended by much of what you see on primetime television? Why not tune in tonight at 7 for the rebroadcast of An Hour of Issues, Etc. AM 850 KFUO rebroadcast An Hour of Issues, Etc. weekday evenings at 7. I'm Todd Wilkin, inviting you to listen again tonight at 7 for an encore presentation of Issues, Etc. on AM 850 KFUO.
Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that which we have from God as an inheritance. And here's what Pastor Kevin Parviz had to say about that inheritance on the Bible study.
The thing that always strikes me about the first 15 verses is verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. Now, how many people would not love to obtain an inheritance? We all, you know, have dreamed at one time in our life that there's some kind of rich aunt out there who's going to die and leave us her fortune, right? I mean, the greatest fortune that we can possibly have is this inheritance in Christ. And what is that inheritance? And I think Paul brings this up, since this is a Pauline writing, we can talk about Romans. You know, he talks about how it's not just Jewish people, it's all people in Him, in Christ, who are grafted into this wonderful tree with the root of Abraham. That's the inheritance we have. It's not just the faith that we have because of Easter morning. That certainly is that which brought it home for us, but it's the entire history of God's people.
Listen to Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org.
On May 5th, Students for Life at St. Louis University will be hosting a 5K run walk to benefit three local pregnancy resource centers. All three of these organizations assist women experiencing unplanned pregnancies through a variety of services such as free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, emotional and spiritual counseling, infant and maternity supplies, and emergency shelter options. This run walk will be held on SLU's campus starting at 9 on May 5th. The registration fee, $15 in advance and $20 on the day of the race.
On tomorrow's Long Gospel, by the way, it's Open Line Friday, which means I don't choose the topics. You do, unless you don't call. And during the time you're not calling, we're preparing an analysis of Lutheran preaching as found in a paper written by an official of our denomination some time ago. And I think you'll find it very interesting and surprising the conclusions that he reached after reading a number of Lutheran sermons that appeared in a booklet for preachers. Right now we're taking a look at a bigger picture here as to what we're facing in the Christian church as we move into this century more and more. Some are suggesting, as does Dr. Leonard Sweet, who was a speaker at the homiletics reflection yesterday, talking about preaching, and he was helping us look at the big picture, making the point that there are some things that are changing in our society, and if we're not aware of them, we're really going to miss out in communicating to people, particularly with those who are of a postmodern point of view. These are people who already have a kind of view about the church, and their view is not at all positive. It's kind of interesting what kind of view that they have. They basically, when they think of going to church, they think of going to a place where somebody is a hypocrite and quite judgmental. So when you invite somebody, why don't you come to church with me? Well, they've got this understanding of it that is really quite gross. And that's why it's so difficult to get people to come to church. By the way, what we did at St. James, because the liturgy was so different from the culture that was surrounding St. James, at that point. We were in a black area, by and large, of St. Louis. And, of course, many of those folks, Baptist type of worship services, and not the kind of Bach cantatas and singing the way we did it, is very uncomfortable for them to come in. So I even indicated to our people, you know, don't invite them to worship services. That really isn't the entrance point for them. The entrance point really is the Bible studies, the adult instruction. So we would devise ways in which they would get interested in hearing the doctrine which we taught. One of the ways was that we would send out free Bible studies to their home and then give them certificates after they passed the course. And it was pretty easy to pass the course because it was an open book course on the Bible studies that we sent to them. And then we would ask them if they would mind if we came to their home and showed them a slide presentation. And these were set up with tape recordings and very professionally done, where we began to talk about who God is and particularly who Jesus Christ is. And then we would invite them to perhaps to continue this in the church at an adult instruction, which occurred on Wednesday nights pretty well. And in this way, they would be able to be brought in and not confronted with the shocking difference of the liturgy over and against what they were normally used to. It's the same kind of thing that a missionary experiences when he goes overseas. He has to learn how to deal with the people there because of their cultural values. For example, when our missionaries go to the Mideast, they are told, when you go anywhere or where you walk, walk slowly. Don't run. Running is for young men or for children, because elders never run. It shows you're not in charge of your life. It shows that your life is really a mess. Whereas United States, I've got a lot of people who, when they're at work, they're running around all the time. And I don't jump to the conclusion they don't know what they're doing. In fact, I jump to the opposite conclusion. That's a hard worker. But you see, there's a cultural difference. Now, when we're talking about differences in thinking between the time of Luther, I'll show you how different it was. People definitely said that they would believe what the authorities told them to believe. The source of the truth for them were authorities. And then, of course, came the Great Reformation, where people began to think for themselves. And where Luther would say, you don't need to have a pope or even a priest tell you what the Bible says. You are quite capable of being able to read it. They should lead you as to how to understand it, but you can come to your own conclusions. And when I say how you can understand it, not specifically, this is what this verse means, this is what that verse, but through principles such as Scripture interprets Scripture. There was a huge wave of new thinking because of a man named Gutenberg, and that was the invention of the press. Do you understand how quickly the Reformation spread throughout Europe in light of the press? Luther would do a sermon, or he would write something, and even in Latin, and before you knew it, somebody had published it and translated it into German so that the common layperson could understand it. It was a huge uprising against authority. Well, today we're into another huge wave of change, is that we don't have bookworms anymore. You know, if you were a child growing up and you were reading book after book, you were considered a bookworm. Today we have almost what can be referred to as vidiots, people who are stuck in front of their video for long periods of time. They get home from school, they turn it on, and now with the internet, they can begin playing with one another when they're living in different homes. The same game, as well as communicating with one another. Now, there are some very bad results from that, as you'll see on certain shows on television where adults trying to go after young people or children will use that and pretend they are someone else and, you know, bad things can happen. But also, very good things can happen. Just as the Gutenberg press led to an outpouring of pornography in our day, it also can lead to great spiritual writings. Well, today now, the computer is something we need to be regarding. And individuals who still, for example, write a book by typing it are going to be left behind in the self-publishing world in which we are in. In fact, I myself own my own publishing company simply because I found it to be the fastest way to get things out. I had a friend just a couple of weeks ago told me he had written a book. Last week, we gave him 70 copies of it. Because we have both the equipment and the ability, all I need from somebody is their disc with their book on it. And we can get them a nice booklet. Well, the years it would take to put out a book in the old days, things are happening very, very quickly. And the church needs to be aware of this. It can make up its own books now. And without waiting very long. I remember when the first time I was in a congregation and we took a pictorial directory. Remember that? You would sign everybody up. It would take about 6 weeks to get the whole congregation done. And then you would wait 6 to 8 months before you would even choose your pictures. And then they would have to make the directory. It was almost a year between the time that you began making arrangements until you actually had the books. Today, when we went to St. James to take the family picture, they sat us down in a little room and said, okay, here's what it is. Which ones do you want? Here are the costs. And which one do you want in the pictorial directory? And they can have that pictorial directory done in less than a month. Now, the church needs to be aware of these new ways of communication. But more importantly, we need to be aware that people are not just looking for things that are better. They're really looking for things that are different. Now, the way I've been talking about this, particularly in the last 2 years on AM 850 KFUO, is in this distinction I make between interpretation and application. You are not witnessing to someone if you simply tell them what the Bible says. You can have someone know all the parables, backwards and forwards, all the miracles, all the sermons, all the history events. And what you could end up with is a Pharisee or a scribe in Jesus' day who knew all the things of the Bible but had no faith because they were not applied appropriately. You can even talk about the Bible in an absolutely correct way, but it's kind of like a bromide sermon. It's been heard so many times in the same old way that there's nothing particularly interesting and people are bored to tears. That's why so many preachers, unfortunately, are moving in the direction of giving them something better. But you see, that's the wrong direction to move. Because in their view, what is better than talking about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago is talking about how you can use Jesus today in your workplace to become a better boss, to become a better husband, to become a better child, to become a better student, to become a better teacher, to become a better engineer, to become, and the list goes on and on and on. They think that by finding principles of life in the scripture and leaving the cross behind because it's not user-friendly, that they now have a superior way of preaching. Well, when in reality, they're going backwards. Now, that's why the devil is so wise. He can get you to think that, boy, if I can fill the church, that means I'm successful. Well, Jesus was totally successful, and every one of his disciples fled from him. His mother and brothers denied him. His own hometown was ready to throw him off a cliff. He appeared to be more successful with the enemies of Israel, like the Samaritans, whole town converted, a centurion's coming to faith in him. And the list goes on and on. You see, success from our point of view, from a consumer point of view, means, well, are we getting a bigger church? How big is the budget? How many people are attending? Is it growing from week to week? You don't need Christ to do any of that. Mormons are really quite successful, as are Muslims, in getting large crowds to their services of worship, to their idols. But God doesn't think they're successful at all. See, what they're giving out is something better than what people were used to, and people will gravitate towards it, because wouldn't you gravitate towards these television evangelists if they say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can buy a Mercedes, you too can have a nice house, you can too can have a perfect marriage, you can have perfect children? It's called the prosperity gospel, and it sells. But not because God is behind it. It sells because that's the natural thinking of man. Well, what I was so happy to hear from Dr. Sweet is he kept insisting again and again that we ought to give something that's better. We need to give something different. Let me tell you why most people will disagree with that. For them, more is better, which means that's good. Take a look at basketball teams today. The individuals are taller, they're more athletic, and they're bigger. Or hockey teams. I still say they should get one of those sumo wrestlers. Boy, if I had a hockey team, I just would get one of those big sumo wrestlers. You know, those are those huge guys that wrestle. And by the time you put them in pads, I just have them lie in front of the goal and lie backwards. How could you shoot the puck past them? Covers a whole goal. See, more would be better. And that's how the temporal kingdom works. More is better. Again and again. So people are not just looking to go to church to hear about Jesus. They want a church where they can be in fellowship, where there's a place where their kids can be taken care of, where their teenagers like going to, where, and the list goes on and on. So large churches are preparing things to make themselves better than Starbucks, to make themselves better than the normal library, or make themselves better than the shopping center. In fact, here in St. Louis, there are a number of shopping centers that are putting in a new rule that if you're under 18 years old, you're not allowed in the shopping center after 5 o'clock without an adult. Isn't that interesting? So where are they going to be going? Well, I guarantee you that churches will start having places for them to hang out, but they won't be bringing in any theology. Many times they have a fellowship, they may go on camping trips, but rarely is the real message of Christianity ever coming across. I think a lot of people wouldn't be able to distinguish between a Christian youth jamboree, a Boy Scout youth jamboree, or a Mormon youth jamboree. There'd be very little distinction between them because they're all kind of doing the same things, only trying to do it more better. What needs to be done is to get away from Christianity being a better religion. In fact, there are some scholars that don't even like to use the word religion when it comes to Christianity. You see, sometimes getting more is not better. It takes away, as I said with those video games, I really don't like playing the better ones. I like going back to the old ones. They just seem to be more fun. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But I'll give you an example where more is not better. It may be true that in basketball and hockey teams, you want more weight, more height, more strength. That's better. But today, we're 24 pounds heavier than we were just a few decades ago. The average weight is 24 pounds heavier. Now, why is that? Well, you got that one advertisement. They come up, it looks like a, well, it's a window for a restaurant, whether McDonald's, Burger King, Dairy Queen, or whatever. And instead of ordering food, they order, I would like to get some fat on my thighs. I'll have two orders of that. Or some extra blubber. Oh, yeah, put some extra blubber on there. And so they don't use the words for the food. They actually use what's going to happen to them when they eat this food. It's really kind of a well-done commercial. Now, there's more. Now, see, I don't really like those commercials to a degree because, as I've said on another program, why does God make sure that everything that is really good for you tastes terrible? And everything that really tastes good is really bad for you. I just found something that really does taste good to me and isn't that bad. At least the can isn't that bad. You know those whipped cream things you can buy? They're in cans, and then you hit the spout, and whipped cream goes over all the top of a cake or something like that. Well, some of those have no sugar in them. There's no salt in them. The fat is hardly anything. And the problem is you shouldn't sit down and eat the whole can, because that kind of offsets the fact that there's not much to it. But there's something that's really kind of sweet and tastes great, and it isn't near as bad for you as a real cake with real whipped cream and so forth. The church needs to learn that particularly in the area of evangelism, better is worse. In fact, Dr. Sweet talked about a slogan one of his friends has. It's no more more. That is to say, we don't want any more more. What we want is something different. Now, you may be familiar with Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Those are really better. They're more powerful. They do all kinds of video games and have all kinds of graphics that were just impossible a decade ago, especially in the home. But Nintendo has come out with a new game. It's 1/10 as powerful as Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and it's 1/3 of the cost. It's called Wii, Nintendo 3, Wii, and it is going to be outselling both Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, according to Dr. Sweet. How come? Because it does something different. It is totally interactive. It's for people who really don't like that much about golf or tennis or baseball, for teenagers like that. And they get to recreate their own games. A totally interactive thing that's 1/10 as powerful as these other ones, but it's really, really different. In fact, it's starting to be seen in the marketplace that different is better than more. For example, there's a company called Fresh Express. You go to a grocery store and a head of lettuce for a dollar. Let's say you go to Schnucks, then you go to Aldi's, head of lettuce, a dollar, but it's twice as big. Wow. So what are you going to do? You'll wait till you go to Aldi's or whatever the store is that's got the bigger one. Now, maybe when you open it up, it's not as good as the former one, and you have to learn that way, but we tend to go for more. Well, what Fresh Express did is rather than producing bigger lettuces and selling them, they went to fresh salads. Everything is done. You don't have any work to do. No cutting up. All the vegetables are already mixed. And not only have they taken off, but they have now sold their company for over $800 million. Now, this all leads up to what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. I knew I wasn't going to get this done in 1 hour, but I think it's worth our time because from a law gospel perspective, Christianity is not a better way of obeying the law in order to get right with God. We don't have a better God. We have a different God. As they were talking about this morning, Chuck and Todd, prayer in the Christian church is not better. It's different. It's different in this sense that while some denominations or religions want to say the more you pray, the more God will listen to you and the more blessings you will get, they're thinking about temporal blessings. Christianity says the very opposite. The stronger your faith comes, the more persecution is the promise. The greater your trials, the greater your suffering. Why? Because now God can put you on the front lines. You're now ready to truly be his servant. Everything is backwards in Christianity. And yet when you listen to most sermons, they just sound like, well, this faith is just a better faith. No, folks, it is different. And what I've been trying to find is the categories to get across, particularly this year's theme, is that when you hear or preach or witness the Christian faith, when the person finishes hearing you, what you want them to say is something along these lines, boy, I've never heard that before. That really shocks me. And that's why it's impossible to persuade someone to become a Christian. It is too different from the normal way of thinking. So our sermons need to mirror that. And that's what we'll talk about as we move into the next hour. 2 hours today on the same subject, but I think it's well worth it. I know I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward. And if you want to call, 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. And this isn't going to be archived the second hour, so you're going to need to get a hold of me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com if you didn't hear it live, and we'll be glad to send you a copy. Just get a hold of me, lawgospel@lawgospel.com. I'm Tom Baker. Stay with us through the break and give us a call if you have the opportunity. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.